your non-stop entertainment radio.
I don't know what I do. We make you love me so daddy. No be say I too sappy. Yeah. But you love me constantly. Yeah. I don't know where I for day. If not be you the little way. Your grace and mercy not they feel. You they love consistently. This your love, it is all I want. This your grace, it's my warm embrace. That deep my girl, let me see.
Something true. It don't change on what I do. You stay the same always. Nothing can make you take your love from me. Yeah. No one else deserves our face. Ooh. You come through for me on the hard days. Tell my story for one name. The only love that said nothing could ever separate.
Starbright again, happy new and the year again, 2026. Wow, a blink to know, almost missed 2025. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. You are welcome to Starbright. We're on the air every Thursday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Now, I was reflecting with the owner, and I realized that Starbright has been on the radio for just over 10 years. Yes, wow. The producer said, wow. So 10 years. I feel that, wow, it's only by God's grace that it's been going. You know, sometimes you start something and you get to a place you're exhausted and you just want to give up, but I'm here to say keep pushing through, because it's the blessing that comes in consistency. And, you know, it might have been a blessing for you, but it's definitely been a blessing for me to do this. So really, really thank God for 10 years Starbright being on the, it's over 10 years really, over 10 years Starbright being on the air. I just want to give God all the glory, give him all the praise. Father my God, we commit this time into your hands. We ask for you to come and minister to us. Father and my God, let your words ring in our ears. Holy Spirit, the greatest teacher, teach us that which we need to learn and help us to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was saying, 10 years, over 10 years. And through the highs and lows, the ups and downs, and worship leader was just a toddler when we started doing this. And it was really a step of faith, really a step out into the unknown of what was going to be like. And sometimes, not sometimes, each time that God asks us to do or presses something in our hearts, there's going to be times where it's going to be a bit up and down. There are times you're going to think, I'm just too exhausted for this. There are times you're going to think, is it actually making an impact? There are times you're going to think, look, I might as well just stop. Nobody is even maybe coming, attending, buying, listening, whatever the product might be or whatever you're doing. You may even think that, you know, that you're giving out of emptiness, that you're doing and you're just exhausted and drained. But at those moments, at those times, I want you to lean into God and tap into him some more, because in that consistency there is a blessing. In that consistency, you get to know the Lord more, because if you didn't push through, you wouldn't know the God that provides. You wouldn't know the God that strengthens. You wouldn't know the God that gives you the grace to do it, because, you know, we cannot do things just in our own strength. Now, 2026. 2026. Sometimes we look at this new year, want to make resolutions, want to make plans, and those are all good, and I'd like people to make plans and reflect upon their life past and then look forward to what is to come. But I want us to also look at our own growth and the development and our relationship with Christ. Now, we were looking at it a few months back, relationship between husband and wife, and relationship between colleagues, friends, and relationship between, you know, ourselves and Christ. And we were going through some relationship things, and we're going to continue this, because to do anything we need to do and we want to do, we need to tap into that relationship that we have with Jesus. We don't want to do anything on our own strength, because our strength will only take us thus far. Our ability will only take us thus far. Our insight, our knowledge will only take us thus far. But when we tap into the Lord, we're going to get a freshness. We're going to get a newness. We're going to get something that will enable us to almost take what we're doing to another place, another, even surprise us, ourselves. So we need our relationship with the Lord to grow. And that will then, excuse me, that will then feed into our relationship that we have with our spouses, our relationship that we have with our friends, our children, our siblings. It will feed into it. Now, we're going to look into several scriptures, but I want to, and if you're not married, this doesn't discount you, but because, you know, it talks about the relationship of Christ and the church as being like husband and wife. So when you say, when you hear wife, think of the church, think of what you have got to present yourself as, what you've got to do, okay? And when you hear husband, see what Christ has got to do. And as if you're a husband, think this is what you have got to present, copy, and things like that. Because sometimes we, well, let's just have a look and see. Because we did do this a few months ago, and I just want to continue on because I said we haven't quite finished. Now, there are quite a lot of challenges when two individuals become a couple, and one of them is the decision making. Who makes the call? Who takes the lead in certain things? Do we take it in turn to make it fair, or do we put the man in charge because of maybe a perception of what we have? Now I want you to think about this. What is your thought regarding this? What do you do? And if you're not married, what do you do with your relationship with, you know, with Christ? Do you put Christ in charge? Do you do you cause him to lead you? You know, because the relationship between husband and wife is represented as Christ and the church. Sometimes people have that, well, maybe the man is smarter, stronger, has more capital, etc., etc. Now, that is not what the Bible actually says. You know, yes, men were made first, and the woman was, you know, he was put to sleep and a rib was taken out. And if you're not sure, or I don't want to assume anything. So, and that is what I was referring to, is in Genesis. And I've got it here. Genesis 2. And it goes from 15. The Lord placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and care for it. Excuse me. But the Lord gave, God gave him this warning. You may freely eat any fruit in the garden except the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat this fruit, you will surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a companion who will help him. So the Lord God formed from the soil every kind of animal and bird. He brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And Adam chose names for each one of them. He gave names to all the livestock. So when God said it's not good, first thing he did is brought the animals, you know, to Adam to name them. And then he said he gave them names to all the livestock. I'm reading 20. Birds and wild animals, but still there was no companion suitable for him. So when he said it's not good for man to be alone, he brought the animals to him, got them to name, and then it goes on in 20, the no suitable companion. So we are to be suitable companion. The women are to be to their husbands a suitable companion. He took one of Adam's ribs and he closed up the place from which he had taken. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib and brought her to Adam. At last Adam exclaimed, she is part of my own flesh and my bone. She will be called woman because she was taken out of man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now, many times I've been reflecting on some of these things and think, It says, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is quite deep, because men, you know, intended husbands, are we, what does it mean to leave? Okay, I just want to put that out there, because it says, this explains. Now, I'm gonna go to, because you know me, I want to just look at a different translation to see what it says. It also says Genesis 2, I'm gonna look from 15. Okay, now it also says a suitable companion, but still there was no companion suitable. Okay, and that is in verse 20. But still there was no helper just right for him. This is the Living Translation. I'm going to look at another translation. Let me make a well-matched helper. Well-matched, that's a tree of life. Let's look at Amplified. excuse me. This always, not always, many a times happens. Many a times. Okay. 20. Okay, but for Adam, there was not found a helper that was suitable, a companion for him. Now, it says suitable, a companion. So, we've got suitable helper, companion, suitable, a companion, a helper. Suitable, a companion, a helper. You know, and I want us to think of all these things. And I'm going to look up suitable meaning. Now, suitable, right or appropriate for a particular person, purpose, or situation. Right or appropriate for a particular person. So, for a particular person, purpose. Purpose or situation. Suitable means it's right or appropriate. So God was creating a companion suitable, someone who was right or appropriate for Adam, for a particular person, for that man, for the man, that will align with the purpose or situation. So when we think of things that are suitable, I want us to think of it beyond what we tend to think or see. Someone who's going to align, someone who's going to be for appropriate for you, no one else, for, because it says a particular person, purpose or situation. Right for the purpose, right for the situation. A helper. You know, because sometimes a person who helps someone else. So someone who helps someone else is suitable for a purpose. And I'm really stressing that point, because sometimes we look at the we look at the help and we don't look at the purpose. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. You, someone who's going to help you fulfill purpose is not always gonna tell you, there, that's really lovely. You're doing really well. Think of that person like your coach. Think of that person, you know, thank you, Holy Spirit. You're running the race. The scripture says we run the race that's set before us. The coach is the one that says you can do it. The coach says I need you to push harder. The coach says you need to work that muscle. The athlete doesn't always like it. But it's going to be there to say, you didn't do that right. You need to do this right. You need to go and do this. You're going to do that. You need to. Because there's a purpose to be achieved. Now, I know some of you are going to be going, no, I'm just looking at the definitions of the words. Because sometimes what I've learned in life is that the definition that we know of a word is not all that there is. And sometimes we have used a word in one way, but remember, all of the scripture in English was translated from another language. And that's why I looked at the different definitions to see how have they translated that word. And if we look at what helper is, we may find helper is more than, it's not your assistant. And even an assistant is going to ensure that you achieve your goal and target and will assist you, but may not say that we could do this better. We could do this differently. And even as I'm saying that to you, I'm there thinking, wow, there's much to the role of being a helper than many times that we think. But there's a purpose behind it. And, let me give myself as an example. Let me just give myself as an example. And Pastor won't mind me sharing. When we got married, I wouldn't minister. I wouldn't... He tried to get me to minister because Pastor was able to see beyond what I could see. He was very good at seeing within me what was there and, you know, trying to get me to do things that, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. And I remember because we were pastoring a church, he had gone somewhere. And I can't remember exactly where. And he didn't come back on time. And it was now Sunday morning. And I phoned him and said, where are you up to? And I think he was stuck somewhere. And I said, who's going to do the preaching? He said, anyone that knows Pastor, you are well able. You're just there going, who is well able? Not me. Say, you are well able. Aren't you a child of God? You can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know, a part of me thought that you setting me up here, you just put me in a corner. I got my Bible and some notes and things, and I spread it all on the floor and said, God, you've just got to help me do this because I don't know what I'm going to say. I managed to compose something and put it together and deliver. And I don't know how it came across or anything, but I made that attempt. Now, years later, the Holy Spirit ministered to me about Starbright. We got started and said, right, you know, I'm going to let you know, Pastor, what I want to be delivered because you're the teacher. And then again, he went somewhere and didn't show. Do you kind of see the pattern with Pastor? He went somewhere and didn't show. And he said, you are well able. You are well able. You can do it. Ha! Woman of God. I'm there thinking, oh my days. Everyone was blessed. And I don't think I was even very well. I was there, you know, dosed up and cold medication. My brain was not thinking very clearly. But apparently the Holy Spirit was moving because someone started to record it. Do not ask me what I said, because it was definitely fully Holy Spirit, because the body was definitely weak. Someone made me a cup of tea because they was knew that, all right, she's full of a cold, and went through. Now, in those instances, I can say that that was a help. That was a help. But in it as well, the purpose that I am supposed to do, I was supposed to do, that I hadn't considered, was also fulfilled. So not only did it do the purpose for Pastor, but it also brought out a different dimension to my purpose. So sometimes it doesn't look like it, but years down the line, when I look back, I think, Lord, if you had told me then that I was going to be doing even the radio, out of thought, nah, you're having a laugh. I might not even have said yes to Pastor. I would say, no, this is a trap. I ain't falling into it. But the blessings that have come in doing it has been so tremendous. And that's an example. That's just one example of what and how God moves, you know. So I just want you to bear in mind, it's not always clear cut as it seems, as we feel, etc. Okay, we're going back to this. Right. Okay. So, excuse me. We're looking at our relationship with Christ, Christ and the church, husband and wife, our friendships, our relationships with our significant other. One of the things that we need to look at in a relationship is roles. You know, who's going to do what, what's going to happen, etc. But sometimes we can be quite rigid with the roles, but it's just to partition the work so that the purpose to be fulfilled. So, and part of the purpose and part of fulfilling is actually not only growing and developing oneself, is learning new things, dividing things up, etc. Working as a team. If you've not worked as a team before, it's different than when you work by yourself. Every good team needs roles. A team without clear roles is a team that is, it can be quite chaotic. You know, for example, when a husband and wife have children, someone has to be right. Who's dropping them at school, who's picking them up, etc., and organize those kind. That's just an example. If you're working in a team at work with your friends, colleague, business, etc., who's doing this, who's that, so that the purpose can be fulfilled. You know, if, for example, you work on your own and you need the printer to do something, you need this to do something, you need that to do. If they didn't fulfill their part, then the purpose, the event, the occasion, you know, would not be as impactful as if everyone had done their part. Okay? A team where every member tries to take the same role is a team that fights. So things have to be divided. We are called in a relationship as husband and wife to be one. But if those two don't have clear roles, you can end up with chaos and leading to frustration. Now, the roles are not prescriptive because, you know, when God made man and woman, he didn't say, you're going to do this, you know, I've looked, it It doesn't say those kind of things. So God didn't say, woman, you're doing this. Man, you are doing this. But there are roles and parts to play. And in part of this, we need role models. Now, it does help if you're married to have healthy and to have a healthy marriage, to have a married couple that you look towards, look to. And I always say to personally, I always encourage couples to get and people getting married that have someone who's like your lifeguard. They're someone that you call in times of trouble. Someone who can help put a seal in the hole. They may see the hole that you don't, your water's coming in, you don't know where it is, because remember, it's a relationship. So they might be able to see and plug the hole in and get you continue sailing. It's the same thing that if you have in a relationship with a significant other, it's good to have someone that feeds into it. Okay, it's healthy, it's good, it does greatly help. Let that couple be a couple older that have journeyed, so that they can do wealth of wisdom, so that you don't have to drop into the same holes. They can say, no, that's a hole. No, for a ship, that's an obstacle. It has many things underneath. Go around it, go by it, take a deviation, to mention a few. So those are the things that I want us to bear in mind. But we also have to look at the relationship with Christ and the church, because it is mentioned in Ephesians about the relationship of marriage as Christ and the church. But our relationship with our significant other, our relationship with our siblings, our relatives, our things, there are a lot of examples, godly examples, and we are encouraged to be Christ-like. So in the relationships you have, are you representing Christ-like behavior? And that's what we've got to endeavor to do. Remember, we're all growing. It doesn't mean we need to feel condemned, but we're all growing and learning in these things. And sometimes you get frustrated. Please, let forgiveness reign. But we need to represent Christ. Both male and female were created in God's image. Okay, we need to remember that. And in Peter, 1 Peter 3, it talks about, you know, wives and husbands. And I'm going to just... and all Christians. 1 Peter 3 talks about wives, husbands, all Christians. Okay? So I'm just going to pick up some things from there. From 1 Peter 3 verse 1. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands, even those who refuse to accept the good news. Now that's hard. Your godly lives will speak to them better than any words. They'll be won over by watching your pure, godly behavior. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty that depends on fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Okay. Then it says, I'm going to go on to 7, husbands. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She's equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. As I'm even reading that, I'm thinking, wow. Your prayers, if you don't treat it as you should, your prayers will not be heard. That is kind of deep. Let me see if there's another definition, because I tell you, I think we all want prayers being heard here. I do believe we all want all prayers to be heard. Let me go 1 Peter 3, and I'm going to go to 1 Peter 3:7. Okay. In the same way, you husbands, live your lives, live with your wives in an understanding way, with great gentleness and tact, and with an intelligent regard for the marriage relationship. Okay. Show her honor and respect as fellow heir of grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered or ineffective. Okay, let's see different translation, because that is okay. Husbands, this is passion. Husbands, you in turn must treat your wives with tenderness, viewing them as feminine partners who deserve to be honored, for they are co-heirs with you, divine grace of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Well, everything is saying hinder your prayers. Nothing will hinder your prayers. Men, nothing will hinder your prayers in Jesus' name. Nothing, you know, because that one, I don't know, I'm not a man, but that one is like, whoa. to me, it's like a whoa. We're going to take a break. I don't think we have much left of the program. We're going to take a break. And after the break, because I need to digest that. I'm not a man, but I feel I need to digest that. And we'll be back after the break.
And I think upon your goodness and your faithfulness each day. I'm convinced it's not because I am worthy to receive the kind of love that you give. And I'm grateful for your grace.
my God, my Lord.
Welcome, welcome back. Well, myself and the producer were talking about the topic, and one of the things that we mentioned is that this is quite deep. It's on so many levels, and as a producer said, the Bible, the Word, is on so many levels, so we can never stop learning or think that we know it. So even when we quote the scripture, that's a depth that you know. So if... Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You might know the depth of the paddling pool, but that's not the deepest body of water there is. You know, in the swimming pool, there's some swimming pools that has a deep end. You might be in the shallow end, you think, and you're standing on that. But as you learn more, as you develop more skills, you find there's a deep end. And even the ocean, there are depths to it that even... human beings, we're still trying to find equipment that will go to that depth. So the knowledge and the depth of what we stand on, we need to be open to learn. Now, one of the things we talked about was that the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, when in Genesis he put Adam to sleep, he took out of Adam the rib. He took out of Adam part of him, so that he will not have every single thing. He will need that suitable helper to complete the purpose. So even when your wife is seeing your significant, wow, is seeing a different perspective, it's because she's been taken out of you, and together you can complete. So it's not to dismiss, it's to hear, because she's made to help. An aspect of you, the original Adam, was taken out and put in the woman, so that no one person has it all. No one person knows it all. We look at Christ and the church. We look at Christ, because the relationship of husband and wife is related to Christ and the church. Christ wants the church, as in empowered the church to do some things. Christ can do it all. He's done it all, but he can do it all. But as a producer was saying, that the Holy Spirit convicts. If there's nothing there to begin it with, where's the conviction? It's almost like conviction is almost like, well, I've heard this before. And the Holy Spirit ministers, and it's like it lines up with that. I've heard this before. I know of this. Now, our relationship with Christ and the church. We as even individuals are part of the church. We are the church. And if our, not if, our relationship, husband, wife, is aligned with Christ and the church, what, I struggle to use my own mouth to say, because God, help me. We can even put it like church is the helpmate. As a church, as you as an individual, how are you helping Jesus? Because our relationship is Christ and the church. Our relationship, husband and wife. So if we are not helping, if we're not that suitable companions, and a companion has that relationship, a friendship, a hello, how are you? It's not only about what I want, it's about what you're saying. Are we doing that conversation, Lord? What are you saying? What am I saying? What are you saying? You know, I'm reflecting, and this is why I'm having these pauses. I'm reflecting on my own self. No one should prevent you from being that helpmate to Jesus. No one, as the church, I speak to the church. I speak to those who consider themselves the church. No one should prevent you. If you've been hurt, wounded, and you find yourself in a place that you are not connecting as the church, you are not doing the things as the church, you are not helping, ask the Lord to heal you, repent, heal you, and make you whole so you can take your position as the church. Because sometimes things come in and the wound is so deep that, you know, it's damaging. So I want us to ask the Lord. Some people need to repent. Some people need to ask for healing. Some people need to ask for wholeness. Whatever it is needed. Because our relationship with Christ and the church is supposed to be like husband and wife. And it actually impacts your relationship with Christ impacts every aspect. So I know Starbright started it as a relationship, but something occurred to me. It was the Holy Spirit. If we don't have, and even now it's even ringing more, if we don't have that relationship with Christ, because everything we do should pour out from that connection with Christ, how am I going to be, I look at myself, a suitable helper if I'm not asking God to help me to be a suitable helper? I can't be a suitable helper by myself. I can't separate it. So as I'm growing and learning, and you know, I might have a paddling pool knowledge of being that suitable helper, and then I grow and I learn. Oh, so wow, I'm now in the swimming pool. Wow, I'm now in the deep end. Wow, I'm now in the ocean levels. Wow, so this is what it means to be a suitable helper. This is how I'm suitable helper, because it's actually my connection with Christ and that relationship with Christ that's going to teach me and help me to be that suitable helper, to be, you know, like in that relationship of Christ and the church. I'm hoping I'm explaining myself, because I'm learning myself. So even if you're not learning, that's all right. I'm learning. And from the discussion I've had with the producer, even our eyes have been opened here. And there's a lot, because I'm still coming back to, so your prayers will not be hindered. Ah, that's a weight. You know, imagine, I just want to, you know, sometimes I like to visualize this. Imagine you're talking to Jesus and Jesus said, oh, that way you have treated your wife, let's address that first. Yeah, but the Lord want to minister. Yeah, I want to do. Yeah, but the way you have treated your wife, let's address that first. It's deep. I don't know about you, but whether you need to repent, please repent. Whether you need to ask for forgiveness from the person, from whatever you need to do, let the Holy Spirit convict you what you need to do. Whether you need wholeness, because sometimes it's hurt and pain that causes us to act in a certain way. And sometimes we take out our hurt and pain on our significant people, but they're not actually the ones that caused it. That's a different sermon. That's a different topic altogether, because I've come to realize that pain links to pain, becomes a stronghold, and then strongholds drag us down, and sometimes we're trying to break free, but it's dragging us down. So we need to, there's much that we need to learn, and we're going to continue looking into this, because I don't know about you, but I want to be the helpmate to Pastor that the Lord has preordained me to be. And those of you that are not married, you can start learning, you know, and start growing. So there's some things that you don't have to fall in the same potholes and holes that other people have fallen into. Amen. Father my God, we just thank you. We thank you for what your Holy Spirit has revealed to us. We thank you for highlighting words. We thank you for teaching. We thank you for bringing things to our remembrance, Father, oh my God. We thank you, Father, my God, for the scriptures, for your word. Your word. We thank you for revelation. We thank you, Father, my God, for helping us. Lord Jesus, those that need healing from hurt and pain, I ask that you will heal them. You will touch them. You will restore them. Oh, Lord Jesus, Father, my God, those that are feeling broken, Father, my God, oh, Lord, restore them. Those that are feeling shame, restore them. Father, my God, remove every shame, Father, my God. Those that, Father, my God, are feeling confused, remove every confusion, because you are not the author of confusion. Father, my God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus, help us draw from you. Help us draw from you and our relationship with you grow stronger and stronger so that it pours out to all that we see. Father, my God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we thank you, Heavenly Father. We praise you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're having a Starbright seminar. The tickets are going to be on Eventbrite. Please go on and get your tickets. We are stepping out in faith like we did the last time. The topic is very unusual, but it's something that the Lord has been revealing to me and giving me a different perspective on declaration and various other things. We're going to have various speakers, and there's some things I'm going to ask you to work upon whilst you're there. So it's going to be very packed, very, very packed. So it'll be hardly any room for discussion, but we're going to make it. It's going to be 10 till 1 at Highfield Pavilion, Stamford Park. So come and be blessed. And it's on the 31st, the last Saturday in January. Come and be blessed. And bye for now.
Wanna love like you, I wanna look like you. Just like you.